Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special podcast here on PEWPonderings.com. I know that this is a promotion that we have not covered a whole lot in terms of exclusive podcasts, but we're here to talk about Combat Zone Wrestling. And joining me on the line right now is Chris Lawrence. He reviews the shows for us on PEWPonderings as well as has his own podcast. Chris, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. What's up, Chris?
Not too much. Yeah. Not too much. Hey, it was a big weekend for CZW last week. Unfortunately, mostly because of me, couldn't have you on the newscast to talk about it. But Matt Tremont, your new CZW World Champion, and kind of figured, hey, we on Jerome, myself, a couple other writers, we've been talking about the booking of Matt Tremont over the years for CZW. Kind of felt there was a missed opportunity there for him to be world champion, but finally it has happened. Your review, you can check it out on pwponderings.com. But Chris, give us a little bit of your thoughts overall as Matt Tremont, a CZW world champion, finally.
Yeah, finally, basically. I mean, we thought, a lot of fans thought that it should have happened the year after he won Cage of Death against DJ Hyde.
Yes.
It would have made sense, but I guess they needed somebody to, make the Forgotten Ones decent against the Nation of Intoxication. I don't know. You know, that is what it is. I mean, the heel turn did not work at all. Like, I think I talked to Tremont about that, too. He was like, oh, that was bad. And we're happy to have him back as a babyface. And it makes sense now to have him as a champ. And right after he won, they started off the angle with him and Nick Gage, which is, if anybody with a brain is going to book Cage of Death, that's your main event.
It's definitely the smart move. That is the money match.
That is the money match. And like, what somebody was saying, third Tangle Web's going to be on pay-per-view. I'm like, Tangle Web's not on pay-per-view anymore. And if they are thinking Tangle Web's on pay-per-view, they're doing a pretty shitty ass job of booking it. Cause not booking it, mean promoting it. Because if I have a pay-per-view like Cage of Death, I would start promoting Cage of Death in October.
I believe the October pay-per-view was originally on the docket to be a pay-per-view. And then I think, yeah, if you look at how they're promoting it, they've maybe slightly turned away from that. Because why not put Cage of Death, your biggest show of the year, always draws the most amount of fans, one of the most popular annual events in all of independent wrestling.
Yeah, that's your WrestleMania right there.
So when it comes to CZW, I could throw this out there, PW Ponderings, you know, when it comes to our reviews of it, not always the most favorable. When we brought you on board, you know, we felt that you could be objective about it, but at least, you know, you consistently could write and podcast about it. And, you know, just tell us a little bit about, I guess, yourself. Like, why are you a fan of CZW?
Why am I a fan of CZW? Okay. I think it has to start with, when I was into sort of the indies back in the early 90s, 80s, like the USWAs, NWA before WCW. And stuff like that. I mean, I was still a WWE fan, but like as it got crappier and crappier and crappier, I started going more to the indies. And that's when I found, I think it was ECW back in 94.
That could be. Yeah. The early ECW. Yeah.
Yeah. ECW. And then like somebody gave me a tape of FMW. So I started watching that and I just saw like the violent style. I'm like, this is so much better than the crappy WWE stuff I'm seeing. So I got really into like the violent style stuff, like Sabu, people like Sabu, Abdullah the Butcher, Bruiser Brody, going way back. Oh my God. Like the Dusty Rhodes, Bloodbaths, so NWA and stuff like that. And it just kept going, kept going, kept going. And then CZW came out, I think it was in 99. I was living in Philly at the time, so I started watching it. Didn't really go to a live show though. I would see like fake UTV and stuff like that. And people would have tapes of it and stuff. And I'd watch it. And then I went to my first CZW show in 2012, but I always kept up, like, especially with the Nick Gage, Messiah feud and stuff like that. So I just kept, and I went back to watching the old CZW as I was watching the new. So it just kept up and kept up, and I just fell in love with the promotion because they had like good wrestling. I mean, I know people are going to say something about that, but they had good wrestling, the ultra violence that you don't see in hardly any promotion. And it was just like a nice mixed bag.
I would think that. So there is the point where the old CZW, where you did have, you know, you had some straight matches. You also, you know, we always had the annual Best of the Best, those types of tournaments. But obviously, CZW is mostly known for the hardcore, the ultra-violent stuff. With,
of course,
you being the fan that you are of it, there's always the argument from some fans that, hey, that's not what we want, and some people even think that it's really egregious to have that style of wrestling. I would say that, objectively speaking, the wrestlers that do that style, they do get paid more most of the time. I'm not going to say that's 100% the case, but as far as I understand it, that is. You get paid more to do those kinds of matches. Knowing that, does that I don't want to say that it makes it better, quote-unquote, but you're okay with the wrestlers doing those kinds of matches as opposed to just, you know, straight up regular whatever that is wrestling.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Like, the thing is, a lot of deathmatch wrestlers, that people forget that a lot of deathmatch wrestlers actually can wrestle normal wrestling matches. But if they get paid more to do a deathmatch, you're going to do the deathmatch. And like CNN had an article about it, how it's sort of an art form in itself. Because think about how, like, these guys can go through these things and not get, like, seriously, seriously injured. Like, just walk away with a couple cuts and bruises and scrapes.
You know, like... Yeah, for sure. There's definitely an art form to it. I think, though, also some would say that with the deathmatch wrestling doesn't come a whole lot of storytelling in of itself in terms of the context of the match. And I would argue there are deathmatches that have those stories told within them.
There were completely, like, the whole Hyde-Tremont feud was completely, like, was all death matches, but it was also one of the most engaging stories of 2012. I mean, it was a simple story. I mean, you know, the new guy trying to make it in the company and the boss is keeping him down. I mean, it's basically Austin McMahon just with blood and, you know, apparatuses and light tubes and barbed wire.
Is there anything that you dislike about the hardcore style? Like, for example, the use of, I don't know, like weed whackers or something? Or is it pretty much due to like whatever the wrestlers are willing to do to themselves?
I mean, I guess the deathmatch style I dislike mostly is when it's just huge, big, fat guys that hit each other with shit. And it's nothing else. Like, there's no, like, arm bars or no, like, body slams, no nothing. It's just two guys hitting each other with chairs and other bullshit. Like, I hate that.
So sure, would it be fair to say that I think it was the Assassins in early ECW, those were not your favorite wrestlers?
No, not really. And I didn't really care for the Sandman. I liked New Jack, but that was probably because Natural Born Killers was playing at the same time.
That could work. I could see that for sure. When it comes to CZW, so I mean, let's talk about where they've come since January up to this point. Not going to say it's an official mid-year review or anything, but how do you think CZW is doing?
I think they're doing fine. Like, I think CZW is doing fine. I mean, they're building more people. I mean, now Gage is back, so a lot of the old school fans are back on board and stuff like that. And Gage is automatically in one of the biggest feuds, like one of the hottest storylines going right now with him versus the Gulaks. And then you have them setting up Gage and Tremont. You have better wrestlers. You have the rise of Speedball Mike Bailey, who basically nobody really knew until he started in Best of the Best last year. I mean, that's what I saw so far. And they're bringing more people in.
Right, like bringing in like a Tim Donce, kind of capitalizing on him.
Oh, yeah. Like, the Tim Donce thing is beautiful right now. Like, because a lot of people were saying that, like, Donce, they should have used Donce's cancer by him beating cancer as a sympathetic thing. It's like, but once the sympathetic thing wears off, where's he going? And Donce came in as a heel. And so to use that and then all of a sudden flip it completely to where he didn't even mention about cancer or anything last show.
Right. And I think I will throw this out there. So we had Dylan Hales on. And, you know, afterwards, speaking to Donst and some of the people around, like, maybe there was a misinterpretation there. And I'm willing to say this on the record that, you know, maybe because of that misinterpretation are bad. Obviously, Jerome and I did not watch the show. So we weren't the ones saying that he used it. But I guess Dylan Hales thought he was. And according to Donst, that was never the intention. And that he didn't quite understand where that interpretation would have even come from. So what about you? When you were watching that match, and it does make sense that, that Don should stay a heel because that's what he came into CZW as. Did you feel that that was a context that it was thrown out there, or do you think that was just a misinterpretation?
I think it was a misinterpretation. I mean, I think what it was, because Gacy was beating down Donson, it was like, this is a guy that just got back in the ring, you know, ring rust. You know, it's like a ring rust thing he hasn't done. He's just getting back in the swing of things, you know, and then it was like, Gacy's like, you know, I don't want to hurt you anymore, man. It's like a whole friendship thing. And then Donson flips it completely, showing as a, to paraphrase Danny DeVito as the Penguin in Batman Returns, he played him like a heart from hell.
I could see that. And I mean, I have seen his match against Nick Gage and that, you know, in AIW, and that was definitely, it was a really fun match. But I do think that there is that point where you're right, that utilizing Donst instead of capitalizing on the cancer and the very, obviously very inspiring story of Donst coming back, it's like, why not just continue on the storyline that he was on anyway, on that path. So,
yeah.
And I think CZW actually has done pretty well with Donst. He's on the rise, and he's a guy who I wish more promotions would use, and for one reason or another, they're not, so it is what it is. What are some of the other major feuds that have happened, maybe even concluded since January?
OI4K and the Nation of Intoxication. Like, OI4K came in the year, big baby faces, and the Nation of Intoxication came in, big baby faces. They faced each other for the titles, I think, two or three times. And then all of a sudden, OI4K just flipped it on them. And, well, they needed a heel tag team. I mean, because the problem with CZW is you can't, like, most of the time when somebody tries to be a badass heel, they end up being liked. Like, and how many promotions would Nick Gage be a heel? You know what I mean?
Right. Right. I mean, because he has that aura. Fans are – he may be a heel, but I think people are going to cheer him no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he has that. He has that intangible quality. And obviously being in prison kind of – whatever this says about society kind of helps that.
I mean, it's he's a polarizing figure. There are some people that – even at CZW shows, like, I hate Nick Gage. I'm not one of them. Because, yes,
sure,
Nick Gage,
but obviously they're paying
to
see him get beat up. So it's like they may say they hate him, but it's like, well, you keep supporting the brand that is employing him. So obviously you don't hate him that much.
But then there are other brands that are actually reaching out to him anyway. You know, he's working at AIW. He worked at IWA Mid-South. He's working at Jersey All-Pro. He's working at Game Changer Wrestling, which I think used to be JCW.
Yeah. And like, Beyond Wrestling and others. I mean, but hey, you know what?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's a smart move because he's definitely bringing in the fans. There is no doubt that the shows that he has been on since he got out, they have drawn. And why not? You would be stupid to not utilize them if you can. So.
And the thing is also, the biggest thing somebody says, because when people bring up garbage wrestlers, for some reason, like Chikara fans and all that, they go, oh, Gage. I'm like, Gage is not a garbage wrestler. You ever watch his matches when he normally wrestles? He's a damn good wrestler. He can work. I mean, he's worked a match with Gulak twice.
I was going to say, I saw that match with Gulak, and I was pleasantly surprised. Because I did watch him back in the day, you know, and I'm not going to say that I thought he was like 100% a garbage wrestler, but obviously those were the feuds that he was most known for, and that's what I saw him in a lot. And it was like, oh, here's a chance for him to go up against a guy who most people respect his technical abilities. And I'd say he more than held his own. So,
of course. Like, people have said the same thing about Tremont when Tremont has shown he can wrestle. I mean, the whole feud with Black G's was straight up in the ring. I mean, when he won the title, it was in the ring. The match with Pepper Parks was all over the place. The match with him and G's was in the ring completely.
I think I would say that is a fair assessment. And that's something, you know, hey, you know, well, we said we were going to touch upon this, is that a lot of CZW haters still, to this day, always complain that, oh, you know, I don't want to watch that garbage wrestling. And it's like, well, if you even watch them since last year, well, last 3 years, really, but say just since last year, there's not a lot of that wrestling on their shows. There's always at least the one hardcore, no DQ, whatever you want to call it, match. And that has been by design. And I feel that you always have that same kind of match on a Ring of Honor show. You have it on a PWG show. And for the fans that say that, oh, well, I don't want to watch in CZW, it's like, well, then why do you let it pass in the other promotions? And on top of that, again, all subjective. I'm not saying that every match on every CZW show is a good match, because that's up to every individual to decide whether they want it to be whether they want to watch it or not. But to say that every match is just a garbage wrestling match, it's like, well, that's not true.
Yeah, it's not. Like, I mean, there are so many wrestlers that have been brought in to CZW that the rest of the nation or world knows them by, like, because now they'll work in PWG and other places, like Speedball Mike Bailey, Bucks Belmar, Sammy Callahan.
Biff Busick was brought in.
Yeah, Biff Busick.
Gulak, who you would think would be the anti-CZW wrestler, which that was his gimmick, but it's like, that's why. Or Kimberly, it's like...
Or a big one, Tommy Yent.
Exactly. Well, and Tommy Yent was brought in. He's been CZW for a while, so it's like, because of that connection with WXW, it's like, I guess, you know, would you tell those fans that are still, for whatever reason, hating on CZW, it's like, would you tell them, hey, give this a chance? And maybe what shows recently would you tell them to look at?
If you're a wrestling fan, like if you are like, oh, ring, best of the best 15. Best of the best 15 without a doubt. I mean, that was one of the best shows of the year, and that was straight up in ring. Yes, they had one death match. It was, I think it was Connor Claxton versus Devin Moore. And that was a damn good match in itself. I mean, you have, but the in-ring product was great. You have, of course, any of the best of the best. Down with the Sickness from last year. It was a ladder match. So some people might think garbage, but it was a ladder match with OI4K, Juicy Product, and I think Team Tremendous. And that was insane. Like, Down with the Sickness always delivers. Cage of Death always delivers. And the thing is, they always have good matches. If you have one problem with one match, just skip it.
There you go. No, I agree with that. And, you know, when it comes to CZW, do you think that a lot of the, you know, some of the old fans coming back, a lot of the newer fans that they are garnering, I think they're kind of understanding that now, that CZW, yes, it's still called Combat Zone Wrestling, but it's not what it's definitely not what it was in 2002 through 2004. It's not that. Anymore.
No, it's not. I mean, yes, they're gonna have some, you know, ultraviolet wrestlers and stuff like that. I mean, I think an ultraviolet wrestler that can wrestle and work as champion works great for the company. I think it works best for the company. Like when Masada held the belt, that worked great because he worked against Davey Richards, El Generico. People, you know, just completely disavowed knowledge of that. You know, the matches with Drake Younger, like the match he had with AR Fox. I mean, this is a guy that can work. I mean, same thing, Tremont can work. I mean, Nick Gage, when he gets the title, he can work. I mean, Gulak did a death match in the Cage of Death, and everybody thought it was going to be crap. Everybody thought that Cage of Death was going to suck, and they were already shitting on it, and then they saw the match, and they're like, holy shit, this was actually really good. I mean, I think CZW tends to change people's opinions when they actually start to watch it, because my podcast co-host, actually, he hated CZW. He was all Chikara. And then the first show he went to was Tournament of Death, which was last year when Junior Kasai won.
That's ironic.
Yeah, and he loved it. He loved it. And then we went to a Chikara show, and I'm iffy on Chikara. Like, I like some of their stuff, but I can't take a whole show of them constantly poking you, going, you get it? I can't do that.
For sure. Different wrestling styles for different fans. So
when it
comes to CZW and where do you think they're headed in terms of – because I was saying, I think by design, Hyde has created a thing where it's like just Tournament of Death and Cage of Death, that's where you're going to see the ultra-violent matches. Maybe also, you know, like everyone – you know, like a Down with the Sickness or New Heights or also get a little bit more of a hardcore match than usual. But really, he is developing that style that you can just go to a CZW show and really enjoy it. Again, doesn't mean that we're telling you that the wrestlers are great. I mean, maybe, you know, to you, obviously, Chris, and, you know, maybe for
some
me.
Of some are. Of the others.
Yeah, no, exactly. Some of them are, you know, you're going to say they're really great wrestlers. Some people wouldn't. But I think that to be fair, it's like you just can't say that all the wrestlers are, you know, necessarily garbage wrestlers. Because, like, you have Team Tremendous, you have OI4K, you have Gulak. You know, and you see some of these same people in PWG and people praise them, and then you go, oh, but they're in CZW. Somehow that changes them? I just don't see how that works. But that is definitely something that I hear from fans a lot. That's like, oh, I'm willing to watch him here, but I'm not willing to watch him there.
I mean, I think one of the more underrated deathmatch workers or hardcore wrestlers that can work that people don't see and they tend to shit on a lot is Danny Havoc. I mean, Danny Havoc had a match at Proving Grounds, I think it was Proving Grounds 2012, against Drew Gulak. It was a no-rope barbed wire match that was a wrestling match. It was a wrestling match with barbed wire. That's all it was.
And I want to say I remember that. Yeah, like it was more technical than anyone thought it would be, given the nature of it being a barbed wire match. So.
Yeah, and everybody thought, okay, well, it's going to be Gulak putting Danny Havoc in a bunch of holds, and then Danny Havoc's going to, you know, try to be all deathmatchy, and Danny Havoc wrestled Gulak like it was tit for tat wrestling. I'm like, and I don't know why people shit on him. Like, people will, I mean, right now, like another one, Jake Crist from OI4K is starting to do deathmatches as well. He just did a deathmatch last show at Retribution. And this is a guy that is technically sound. And he's part of, I think, one of the most underrated tag teams in the nation or the world. Like, how OI4K doesn't get the same praise as, like, a Young Bucks does is beyond me.
For sure. I agree. I would say, though, that, I mean, you know, you point out Danny Havoc. I wouldn't say that, like, Devin Moore, Lucky 13 are basically technical wrestlers, because I wouldn't say they are. But, yeah, no, Danny Havoc, I do think, to some degree, kind of gets painted with that same brush because he's in the Nation of Intoxication. And it's well, they're just those guys that do the hardcore garbage matches. It's like, well, that's a little, you know, it's a little unfair.
I don't know. Like, Devin and Lucky can fly. Devin and Lucky have proven they can fly.
Oh, for sure. I'm just saying that, you know, in terms of fan perception, most people, like, if you were to say, hey, the Nation of Intoxication is in this match, there is already that perceived, well, this is what the match is going to be.
Like, some people don't know that. Lucky used to be an MMA fighter. Like, a lot of people don't know that.
I mean, that speaks to his toughness. That's for sure. So...
I don't know. I've seen some, like, you know, MMA-inspired holds he does and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. Like, sometimes the Nation, like, sometimes I'll have a good match, sometimes I'll have a bad match. It really depends.
Absolutely. And I think that is, again, also kind of the idea that you watch some of these matches and, you know, reading your reviews, I will say that you've given me a different perspective when watching some of the CZW shows, and I am not at all saying I watch all of them, because I don't. I really just mainly watch the annual shows, which include Best of the Best, Cage of Death, Tournament of Death. New Heights has always been kind of one of those, I would call it one of those B shows that always over-delivers. Down with the Sickness too. But then, you know, like, for example, Retribution, I am going to check it out on CZW Studios just because I finally wanted to see Machima win the title. But normally I wouldn't have watched it just because it, you know, it's one of the quote unquote B shows. So yeah. I think that also if fans were to come to you and say, okay, what would be the jumping off point or jumping on point rather, where would you tell them to start? Would you tell them to start like with this year? Would you say maybe a Tournament of Death last year? If they wanted to get into, I guess, the current product, you know, say
in
they were
current
like
current product.
Yes,
I would go. I mean, if I was going to start, I mean, I would tell them to start where I started. I mean, I would say start like at Tournament of Death 11. Like, I mean,
hey, with CZWstudios.com, they can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that was the whole rise of Matt Tremont. Like, that whole story was amazing. That's the story that hooked me. Like, Tremont Hyde, that was the story that hooked me. And then you see some of the last matches of Sami Callihan, the formation of OI4K. You see the 60-minute match with him and Drake Younger that PWG fans know from PWG, but it was first in CZW, same exact match.
And it was a great match.
Incredible.
I think that was a new – was that New Heights?
Yeah, that was New Heights.
Yeah, I think we even – like I said, even at PWP, we were like, no, that's a match to go of your way to see.
Oh, that was an incredible match. I mean, then you keep going down. You have the Down with the Sickness, Crist versus Fox. And then the next year you have the Down with the Sickness Wired. I think it was like a 4-way or 6-way where Alex Colon swerved everyone.
I remember that too. Yeah. And, and there are guys like that in, you know, in Alex Colon, you know, you're not going to put him in the quote unquote upper echelon of indie wrestlers, but he's a damn good hand to have on any show.
And he revealed himself to be the fourth member of OI4K at the last show.
So where do you see CZW going? Like, what do you think some of, obviously, you already mentioned, Tremont and Gage. What are some of the major feuds you think we're going to get by the end of the year?
I think OI4K and NOI are hopefully going to continue. I mean, I
There ha
don't
actually,
see any reason
I
why
should
not.
mention also, as of this recording, they are, or they're not having the match yet, but it is, they have a match at the Wrestling Geek Fest. We should have results on the website for it, but yeah, that is definitely a feud I would say is probably going to continue
Oh,
throughout the rest of
Wiggy's
the year.
going to go crazy for that match.
Oh, most likely, yes. Not that
She
she's
loves her
biased or
NOI.
anything. I'm
Yeah,
just
you know. Yeah, you know, but it's in Ohio, so OI4K is going to get a lot of fans there.
And then, like we said, Tremont and Gage. The Gulak, oh, also the Gulaks versus Gage. That's kind of, it's intertwined into
I
that
think
as well.
that ends at Tangle Web, and then they should push Gulak. I mean, not Gulak. I mean, they should push Gage versus Tremont and see what happens where else. I mean, you have Team Tremendous still with the title. I mean, it looks like we're gonna unfortunately get Greg Excellent versus Dick Justice again.
You don't
I just
sound
don't.
excited for that.
The last match was oh. Here's the thing. Like again, like Chikara. Like they do a gag, but there are certain things where you let the gag die and you go back to wrestling. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you don't think that's happened?
Oh, they did this like slow big man gag. I mean, it was basically the quote unquote brother match, and then like. After 2 minutes, I was just like, okay, go back to wrestling. And they kept doing it. And I'm like, it's no longer funny. I mean, it's like the Monty Python sketch where the guy's like, say no more, wink, wink, nudge, 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 nudge. And after a while, you get so annoyed.
So I'm assuming you're hoping that ends pretty soon.
I hope it ends or I hope something happens with it. Like, because Greg can work. Greg can work. And I've seen him work. And it always depends sometimes on who he has in the ring with him. Because Greg can be the highlight of a match, or sometimes, depending on who he's working with, the match can just suck.
What do you think is gonna? Well, actually, I'm gonna touch on this also. When it comes to Hyde, I've always appreciated that when he books himself, like, it can be in a serious feud, and sometimes it is the focal point of CZW, but it's never felt that he's putting himself over at the expense of the promotion. Because again, everyone knows he's the owner and the booker.
Yeah, Hyde's never put himself over, really. I mean, if you look at it, because people go, oh, DJ just put himself over again. I'm like, when has DJ Hyde ever won a Cage of Death?
Right, or like when he lost the treatment, it kind of made him. When he, I mean, the whole thing with, he associated himself with the front, but I think that also worked because he's the heel, they're heels, so it's like that naturally made sense.
Yeah.
Plus, he is the boss. If you're going to immerse yourself into the universe of CZW, that is who the front would align themselves with. Like, it just made
Yeah.
sense.
Like, who ate the pin for Claxton? Like, who ate the pin at TOD 4? Oh, yeah, it was TOD 14 for Claxton. It was DJ Hyde.
Yeah, and I think that is something underrated that a lot of fans do not give him credit for. And I think he's more than deserved that acknowledgement. Not saying that his booking is perfect, and not saying that he as a worker is perfect, but I'm not going to say any names, but there are definitely promoters and
Oh,
bookers
yeah.
who have put themselves over at the expense of their promotion, and I would say he deserves the acknowledgement that he hasn't done that.
I mean, didn't John Zandig used to do that sometimes? I mean, I looked back and Zandig won, I think, a couple Cage Deaths.
Hey man, Zandig is just a guy in another universe. He's a character. We could have like an entire
Zandig.
podcast just about him.
Oh, I know, I'm gonna get hate mail now from that. Like, God damn you, Zandig is God. What's wrong with you? Like, well, you're talking about DJ putting himself over all the time. Zandig put himself over a lot.
Yes, he did. And
I mean,
look
let's
where
be
that led
honest.
CCW. Look at where that led it.
Oh yeah, like let's be honest here. I mean, but DJ Hyde, he put himself on the chopping block against Chris Dickinson at Cage last year. I mean, he basically laid down for Chris. I mean,
Sure.
it sucks about the Dickinson thing with the arena. Fuck that place. I'm
Wow.
sorry. Fuck the
That was
arena.
Chris Lawrence that said that, folks, right there.
All right, it's no longer the ECW Arena. It's no longer the Viking Hall. It's the 2300 Arena. And they have rules that don't allow blood or violence. So therefore, if you have a CZW show, that, like, especially with a bunch of rabid Philly fans that are the old school fans, they want to see the blood and the violence, you know, Nick fucking Cage, all that shit. But they didn't get it. I mean, I think I wrote it. I mean, I didn't write it. I mean, it was on my podcast. It was like, the title was There Will Be Blood, Just Not at the 2300 Arena.
That is kind of unfortunate, because that takes an element out that those fans specifically want. It'd be like if the Legion Hall in Reseda said, oh, by the way, no more super kicks. And it'd be like, oh, well then.
Yeah, that's why the fans shat on them shows. I mean, the fans from the February show, the anniversary show, shit on it. The fans from New Heights shit on it. Because they wanted blood. They wanted all this crazy stuff.
And I should point out, I don't necessarily know, and you probably know this better than I, well, you should. Is that also something to do with the local politics? Like are there some codes that, you know, require the athletic commission to say, hey, you know, we can't have blood in this, or if there is, you have to do a lot of testing. And DJ, to his credit, pays for all the blood testing for his wrestlers. Mm-hmm. So does it come to a point where it's like, that's a little bit costly in that specific, you know, in Pennsylvania? Do you know if that's an issue?
I think it may be. Like, I remember that the PA Athletic Commission had to do certain things. I mean, same thing as like New Jersey, sort of.
Exactly. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm hitting.
Yeah, but TOD. Yeah, TOD. What you were talking about, what you alluded to, was DJ pays for everyone to get tested, like to get completely drug tested. I don't know if every deathmatch tournament does that, but I know DJ does.
Do you think then, I guess if you were talking to DJ, would you tell him like, hey, yeah, the 2300 arena, definitely there is an aura that used to be there, but is it worth going there anymore? And
that
obviously
aura's gone.
They're going to, but you know,
I don't think they should. That aura is gone. It costs way too much to rent that place out for just, you know, Philly fans to shit on the show. They were talking about, I think Cage Death's going to be at the National Guard Armory, which I like more. It's closer to me. And
that's always important. I'll give you
looks,
that.
Oh, yeah. And it looks better. I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to do a pay-per-view, all right, the arena is just floor seats. That's all it is. That's all it is. The National Guard Armory at least has risers and stuff like that, so it gives a better look.
I mean,
especially if you can fill them, which I think Cage Death, you can fill them.
I would assume so. Yeah. It is. It's Cage of Death. You know, there's no denying that it is one of the best drawing events of any independent promotion ever.
Yeah, and so. It's like, I mean, I think they're not as. I'm pretty sure the Armory's not as crazy about certain things as the 2300 Arena. I don't know. I mean, I saw House of Hardcore there, and they had, you know, some blood and death matches. So I'm like, okay, maybe.
Right.
But I don't think they'll ever do. I don't know if they can do light tubes, or maybe they can lay them down, but they can't, you know, swing them, which I'm perfectly fine with.
Right. No. And I totally get that. And it's like you can fulfill certain expectations of the fans that you know are going to the show, and if you can fulfill them at this arena as opposed to another one, why not go to that venue?
Right. And it's in Northeast Philly. There's a nice parking lot there. I mean, it's not that far away. Like everybody. I hate when people do that. They're like, oh, it's not the arena, so I can't go. It's way too far. It's like, dude, South Philly, Northeast Philly. It's pretty easy to get to. It's right off like Route 1. It's right off Roosevelt Boulevard, close to 95. Like, you take 95, you hit 63, which is Woodhaven Road. You hit that, and it brings you right on to Roosevelt Boulevard, right where it is. It's not that hard.
Well, there you go, folks. Christopher Lawrence telling you how to get there. That's the level of podcasting we expect here.
That's what I know about it.
So, as I said, everyone can read your Retribution review up on the website, pwponderings.com. What are you looking forward to most for the next show?
The next show, Down with the Sickness, AR Fox versus Speedball Mike Bailey in a ladder match. I mean, they tore the house down at New Heights. That was one of the few matches that didn't get shit on. I mean, that one and the Nick Gage match, and I think the Tremont match, but some people did because they hate Pepper Parks, which, hey, he's a heel. You're supposed to hate him. But people go, oh, it was go-home heat, but it wasn't, in my opinion anyway. But Speedball versus AR Fox, I mean, it's probably going to see I think it's Gage and Busick versus the Gulaks.
That could be a really good match, depending on what you think of them.
I think it's going to be an amazing match. I think it's going to be a damn good match. Well, first thing, Rory is embracing himself as a heel. He got rid of the Mondo gimmick, thank God. I know it was a tribute, I get it, but to have the Mondo gimmick die at Cage of Death like the way it did, like at Cage of Death 15 with him and Sick Nick Mondo come back and all that, and you know, it was the end of it, perfect. Now he's Rory Gulak. I like that a lot better. It's almost like a new birth for him.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
And I would also say, though, that was one of the more historic moments. Seeing Sick Nick Mondo again, it was like, okay, that's worth going out of your way to see. Because I remember that. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was amazing. It was crazy. And I think you also might have a return match. I think you should, at least with Jeez and Tremont. And it would make sense. Like, just to put it out, you know, put that to bed.
Yeah, no, I could see that. I could see that. And I believe the ladder match is the main event. I want to say
yeah, of course. It's the Chris Cash Memorial Ladder Match. Of course, it should be the main event.
So there you go. So yeah, looking forward to that. Obviously, you know, I'm assuming you'll be covering it.
I'll be there.
Well, there you go. Actually, throwing it out there before we get out of here, what do you recommend people get? The CZW Studios, I'm assuming you have it.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the content they've put up worthwhile? Because we get that question a lot, and I bought it for a month. I went through all the shows that I wanted to see out of it, and I do like that they put the current stuff on there. I mean, that really does increase the value of having it.
Yeah, like, it's completely worth it, and they're also going to keep putting original programming on there. I think there's a TOD documentary they just threw up on there. And some others.
Yeah, I saw that. I think I saw the tweet, I want to say yesterday. Yeah, the documentary up there. So now I'm like, oh, should have kept it for the next month.
They're going to keep adding more stuff. They're going to keep adding more and more stuff. I mean, I think still that CZW should have a weekly show. Like, Chikara has a weekly show, and it's like older matches. I'm like, that's fine. I mean, you have a weekly show, you show promos, you show stuff like that. I think they should, because it would... I think more people would be engrossed in the product.
That would make sense. No, I agree. Yeah. Because it would keep it in the mindset of their fans and then grow new fans as well. So.
Oh, yeah, completely. Like, I'm wondering what – oh, but also looking forward, I mean, Sozio, don't know what he's going to do next. The OI4K NOI war is going to continue, and I'm happy with that. For people talking about, you know, garbage wrestling and the NOI – look at Connor Claxton. Connor Claxton is trained by Drew Gulak, and he is a deathmatch wrestler, but he is trained by Drew Gulak, and one of his finishers, he does like a rear naked choke.
So there you go.
The dude is good.
So looking forward to your next review of the event for New Heights. Should be a lot of fun. And Chris, you know, as always, you know, appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about CZW. Hopefully we have you on more to talk about it, because, again, it's a huge brand, independent pro wrestling, no matter what. So we should always acknowledge that. And yeah, so before we get out of here, why don't you plug away? Let people know where they can find you on social media and, of course, your podcast as well.
All right. Well, you can find me on social media. Twitter is MisfitNXC. We Want Bloodcast. That's another Twitter at We Want Bloodcast. Facebook.com/We Want Bloodcast. That's our Facebook page. We Want Blood, a wrestling podcast. You can search that on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. You can find that. It's damn good. If you actually want to talk to me at a show, I'll be at the On Point show on August 29th. Then I'll be at the Nick Gage Invitational on September 5th. Of course, I'll be there.
I expect results sent from you for both shows then.
Oh, yes, completely.
I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, we definitely appreciate everyone that always sends us in results. And then it just always seems that, like, sometimes our writers are at shows and it's like, well, why didn't you send me the results, man? Come on, right there.
I'll probably be reviewing the Nick Gage Invitational as well. So,
awesome. Well, no pressure there. So just make sure that you really dislike it. I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm gonna love it. It's Nick Gage. Are you kidding me?
That is true, but there's also Corporal Robinson on the show. So, you know,
I have no problem with Corp. I have no problem with Corp. I've watched a couple IWA Mid-South matches, and like, I like when they just go punch for punch. And Corp always seems to be in that, and
that is what he does. That is what he does.
Hey, and he does it damn good, too.
So there you go.
Masada's going to be there.
I thought that was a really good. I think it was like he was either their first or second announced talent. And I was like, okay, that puts it on kind of a different level. So.
Yeah, it's like Gage, Masada, Tremont, Havoc. You have two new guys, Kyle the Beast and Jeff Cannonball. I don't really know much about them. And I do like Corp.
I actually do like Corp. He's okay. I saw his match in Tier 1, and I think he fits into that. So, appreciate the time, man. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, totally.
Talk to you again soon.
Yep, thanks a lot.